We're also joined by renowned public radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Lieutenant Governor Dan McKay, as you know, some Rhode Islanders take a skeptical view about whether Rhode Island really needs a lieutenant governor. You've been in office for about 3 or so years now. What would you point to from your time as lieutenant governor to say that the office is providing a good value for taxpayers?
Well, first of all, we're going around all 39 communities visiting businesses there. We've done a diner tour, farm tour in every single community, and that's really important. We're launching off a manufacturing tour because small business is part of the wheelhouse of the Lieutenant Governor's office as chairing the advocacy, small business advocacy. The other thing that we've done, we've already paid for the office, by our work intervening with the Public Utility Commission. Not only did we intervene and get rid of the billing adjustment, which cost ratepayers $1.5 million the year before it was eliminated, but also we've set up a website right now that people can shop their electricity in Power, Rhode Island. This is all initiatives that came from our office. This is going to save millions of dollars for the ratepayers in the state of Rhode Island. So we continue to find ways to what the office is shaped to do on long-term health care. We're working on an Alzheimer's report now that's going to be very cutting-edge to bring that up in with the veterans and others. Look, anyone who says that the Lieutenant Governor's office is not needed, they don't understand that they need to have a person, we need to have a person in that Lieutenant Governor's office that is capable of being coming governor. In the last year alone, 7 Lieutenant Governors have become governor in the country. You can't deny that. And what you do need is somebody who's got the experience in the office, which I have had, both executive and on the business side, to actually, if there was ever a transition, and we know that if the possibility is there, if a Democrat becomes president in 2020, that could happen, right? I mean, office will be made. We'll hopefully that we'll have a Democrat in that office, but they won't be leaving. But the office will be made. They would have been made less than 2016.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm just wondering. You're a big small business advocate. Was the family leave legislation too big a burden on small business?
Yeah. So, as it was presented by Rep. Ruggenberg and others, I objected to it because it didn't have any threshold in terms of the number of employees that you have. And so I went on the record in May saying that, look, you need to take a close look here. We're visiting businesses, Scott, that where they say, look, right now I'm a husband and wife team running a business with 9 employees and I'm taking home 1 paycheck. What do you want me to do, take home a half a paycheck? So, yes, I objected to the way it was presented, and the way it was presented was going to be very, very difficult for small businesses to handle. I'm pleased that they put some thresholds on it, but I think I would have even been a little more aggressive than that.
Speaking of businesses, some business owners say Rhode Island still suffers from an overly burdensome regulatory environment. For example, they point to how companies are required to undergo semi-annual or even quarterly inspections of their fire alarms. Is that really necessary?
Well, I hope that we're past the fire alarm thing. That really hurt our business up in Woonsocket and other business throughout the state during the time, during that time frame in the early 2000s. It cost us like $40,000, $50,000 out of pocket just to comply on really some ridiculous type of compliance, to tell you the truth. So, but I think we're past that. I think that has been.
I spoke to a business owner who says it's still a concern.
Well, then they should come and see me, because that's what we're working on. Day in and day out, we're taking people who are being led in a direction. For instance, somebody was going to get a $3,000 penalty for a construction field, and they weren't even aware that they could, because they had a good record, they could actually appeal that. We had them appeal that. So that individual should come see me. I know an awful lot about the fire issues, including in the town of Cumberland, when I saved our community over $6 million on fire code issues that we were told that we were going to be demanded to do, and then we actually did it another way.
Doesn't the demise of Memorial Hospital show that we have too many hospitals in Rhode Island?
I don't think that's necessarily true, because I think you can repurpose that we need to get into wellness. We need to get into areas that really, really make a difference in terms of a preventative strategy. So I think that I'm with Mayor Grebian right now. I've put a press release out on that we should be looking at options. And I'm glad you brought that up, Scott. There's a real issue here right now about how if a buyer comes in on those 4 hospitals we're talking about, including Miriam, and decides to regionalize and push everything up towards Boston.
Merriam, wait a minute.
I'm sorry,
Merriam's
Memorial,
part of Lifespan.
Memorial. They're going to push everything up towards Boston. They're not going to partner with Brown University the way the program is set up right now. And so it's very concerning to see that hospital, prematurely close when there's actually options on the table and have been on the table to keep that operating.
We're talking here with Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. You're a former mayor of Cumberland, and I believe you're a supporter of the Pawsox Stadium proposal. Yes.
Yes, I am.
So let me ask you this. Critics say not enough financial information has been made known about that. For example, it came out only about a week or so ago that the amount of money that would have to be borrowed would be $84 million, not $71 million, to cover some of the additional costs of borrowing the money. What would you say to convince those people who are very skeptical of this deal right now?
What I would say is, first, it's not a 38 Studios. And I think that's a really important point to make. You also got to take track record here. You've got a business that's been in business for 40 years. It's in a national institution. The Rhode Island, state of Rhode Island, about $12 million of financing that went to. But I don't think anybody is regretting that we did that a number of years ago. This is a totally different project. You have Pawtucket putting skin in the game, which Providence didn't do on the original proposal. You have the owners putting in cash plus other equities that represent almost 54% to 56% of the project, and then the state it's a very small lift at $20 million, $22 million over the time frame you're talking about. It's such a marginal issue in the budget that, quite frankly, we need. Besides that, we need to be investing in Northern Rhode Island. We need to be investing in our cities and towns. And this is one way that we're being told by municipal leaders. And we need to listen to our municipal leaders. When they say this is important to their economy, it is. And it's important to small business as well. And that's what I asked for when I first met with the Pawtucket Red Sox on this issue. Do something for the small business. They're already up to about 50,000 square feet of new space that they're committed to making sure opens up and surrounds the park.
I've always thought the Democratic State Committee was kind of like a chowder and marching society, but there's been a big kerfuffle lately about whether a former state rep from Cranston, Joe DiLorenzo, ought to step down for some of the comments he's made. What do you think?
I think he should step down.
Why?
I think that it didn't show leadership that we need in the Democratic Party to bring us together. You know, I don't think you start talking about any section of the Democratic Party as being, left-wing wackos. And then when you get into, putting the monkey on the back of a rep who is pointing out something that is very, very important to be pointed out, and then you dismiss that in a way that he did, calling her out, will tell us whether you actually gave sexual favors to get a bill passed. That is totally wrong. The man should just resign, and he should do it quickly.
As Lieutenant Governor, you have a lot of discretion in choosing which issues you focus on. Why haven't we heard more from you regarding the breach of the credit rating agency Equifax and how the financial records of 143 million Americans, including many here in Rhode Island, have been put at risk?
Well, I can tell you I don't know much about that. And so, I mean, maybe I should, but I think that we, some people have, it has not been brought up to me as an issue until you just did.
We're out of time, so we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee.
Thank you so much.